Live from Radio Row at the New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We gave away tickets last hour. The winner was Ted. Got the City of North Las Vegas Big Game Party VIP passes. You want a package? Call 702-633-2418. Media Row, New Orleans. Oh, we're going to get crazy tonight. Crazy tonight. I think a lot of salted meats. Oh, we're excited. I get out of control. I laid back on this one. No, I really did. Andrew Zimmern came over, and he did know us. He remembered us. He opened up. But I'll tell you what he remembered is how much we complain. He sat down and did one of the most epic rants about being down here at Radio Row, and he's like, there's no food. He's like, this place.
Yeah, but we're in Radio Row, where the most famous and richest people on earth and giant media companies are, and nobody gives a blank about the food. It kills me. Every year, I write a letter to the NFL. I talk to everyone I can. I said, let my team and I come in here and just do it. By the way, not fancy food. I was talking about, how about just edible food? There are thousands of people coming through here. Many of us, like you, are here from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. And there, I mean, of all the people that you would want to have some good food, why wouldn't it be the folks in this room? By the way, every famous at every championship boxer, every supermodel, actors, actresses, you know, every famous athlete, anyone who's in town comes through here, and no one gives a crap about feeding them. That is a tragedy.
What did I say? He's an official member of the company now, Cofield and Company, Andrew Zimmern.
This
flipping
is our
out.
Show.
By the way,
us.
I looked at you and you're like, the 7 a to 7 p. I was like, that's impressive. That actually is our clock. Yep. We've been here all day.
Right. I've been. That's when I got here.
I have subs that I never refrigerated behind me from yesterday.
No, of course.
I'm going to eat them.
Of course. We've all been there. When the television crew, what do you think? I mean, you know, you're in a bus for 9 hours driving into the middle of where the heck it stand, and you get out and there's nothing the middle of the desert in Central Asia, and you're like, well, what are we going to eat? We're literally taking opened half pieces of Pop-Tarts and cutting them with a knife.
You do what you got to do. If you got to repurpose, you do what you got to do.
This did answer one of my great questions, though, because I do like food stuff, cooking videos, all this stuff, Food Network. I always wondered if, like, people at your level stooped to the levels that we do to get, like, free soft pretzels, or if you just
worse.
Always, like, whip stuff
we're
up.
Worse. Yes, I just made a Gruyere fondant, yeah, like, and I'm dipping a jambon beurre into it.
I figured that's what you're
it.
Carrying around.
Yeah. Do you want to know? You ready for this? I mean, because other people won't do this with you. Do you want to know what's in here?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
My emergency go-to, which are peanut butter with those fake cheese crackers on them. But here's the one that's going to blow your mind. What did I keep from the last giveaway?
Oh, boy.
That I had?
I'm excited.
Now you're getting worried. It's not there.
How is this?
Excited about
this.
You have three pockets.
Someone stole my...
You got a lot of pockets.
Yeah, it might still be in there. Hold on. Are you looking for those?
The chips?
No. That's too healthy.
Oh, no.
Lisa Travatello.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
An 8-ounce jar of Blue Plate mayonnaise, which is fantastic mayonnaise, by the way. Local, fresh, and best. But that's what we carry around.
They supposedly have gumbo today.
Wait, what?
No, they don't. Well, they had like 2 quarts of it to give it away, and they gave it to me in a 2-ounce souffle cup. And you wonder what I said on air, being interviewed by live local news? I said, what happened to New Orleans? And they're like, what do you mean? And I said, the portions are so small. They're like, oh, it's a giveaway. I said, a giveaway? This is like one half a taste. I mean, come on.
This is, as you mentioned, New Orleans is an unbelievable food city.
One of the most important food cities in the world. Arguably the most important food city in America. I think New York is still the best food city in the world, far and away. If Queens, which is one, you know, of the five boroughs, was its own city, we would say Queens is the best food city in America. That's how good Queens is.
Wow.
So that's just a piece of New York, and I'll debate that with anyone. I don't think anyone would take me up on that, but I would debate it with anyone. New Orleans is the most important food city in America. And the reason is that the food of America, and this is a big hypothetical, if you were to define American food, obviously you would start with the food that the first colonists discovered here, which is the food of Native Americans and First People. And there are hundreds and hundreds of tribes who are still extant in the United States, and we all stand on Native land. But if we go post-contact and we talk about what is American food and where is it from, it's not the food of white Europeans. American food is the food of the South, and specifically southeastern corner of the United States of America, you know, brought from West Africa under the most horrific of circumstances and percolated through the Caribbean with Spanish and French influence that has become Southern food that is America's food. And so I would challenge anyone to say the word New Orleans in silence, alone in a room, and not taste it and smell it. You will. And I think for that reason, it's the most important food city in America.
What? Not? I'm not asking for a
place. Do you like
place.
That? That's a hot take.
Well, great.
I'm going to cut Adam off.
Sounds yes. really smart.
That was great. It was fantastic. This is my first time I've ever been here, so I can completely agree. We've been trying to eat everything, try everything. But yeah. Yes, I would agree with all of that. It makes all sense in the world.
Okay. I
critique a couple. No, I'm just playing.
No, that's fine.
I'm not asking for a place, but the kind of food. What food do we have to eat while we're here?
It's my last night really, tonight.
Have you had po' boys, yep. gumbo. Oh, yeah. yep. Have you had crawfish and sauce piquant?
Oof, no. I don't think so. He had a crawfish like
I had a
pie.
Crawfish pastry.
It was okay, like, yeah. doesn't count. there is an elevated form of Creole cuisine. Sometimes it has Cajun overtones. A lot of the difference is if you have food that has tomatoes in it, that's Creole, okay. right? In Cajun country, today they may put tomatoes in it. Particularly in real Cajun food, it does not. The tomatoes are not a big part of what's going on there. And obviously Cajun has the heat. A lot more heat from hot and dry chili. But sauce piquant is a sauce that starts with the roux, has a lot of vegetables in it, you know, the Holy Trinity, as well as some other vegetables, hot peppers. If it's going on crab or crawfish, a stock made with crab or crawfish, and it will then thicken and become a sauce for a broiled piece of fish. So you could go to Galatoire's and have a piece of redfish or pompano with a crayfish sauce piquant. That's sauce piquant with crayfish in it. You could have a piece of redfish or pompano or speckled mackerel that has a butter sauce with local crab meat. You know, those are really great things in more of a fork and knife restaurant. But, you know, po' boys, gumbo, red beans and rice, Willie Mae's Scotch House for fried chicken, Pascal's for oysters, R&O's for a little bit of everything, any Donald Link restaurant, Herb Saint for fork and knife, Cochon Butcher for some of the best boudin. You could have boudin at Cochon Butcher that is, I would say, is a definite don't leave town without going to Cochon Butcher.
Okay.
It's not just a butcher shop, although they have one. It's a restaurant.
Write this down.
The finest boudin in the city, because they use the same recipe that the owner's grandparents were making.
Wow.
in north central Louisiana. There's so much great food here. Compare Le Pain, what Nina Compton is doing here in this town on Chapatoulas, I think it's Chapatoulas, is absolutely brilliant. So much good food here. Oh my God. I don't know.
He's taking notes.
Where to even begin.
Right. Do you want to know how you spell Cochon Butcher?
Cochon.
Okay.
Here is the.
Funny thing is, I have it all on my phone before I got here.
Good for you.
I come here all the time.
Good for you.
So I know the good places. You named a lot more that I don't know.
You know, I mean, this is a shameless plug. On my Substack, Spilled Milk, just go to andrewzimmern.com. You can click your way all around stuff. So much recommender stuff about traveling and eating in restaurants, and Spilled Milk, my newsletter, sort of focuses on that. But, you know, if you're traveling and you're not checking out my website, I think you're making a mistake.
There you go. Sure. Andrew Zimmern with Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas. Taste of the NFL.
Yep.
You guys were with us last year in Las Vegas.
Yep.
You knew all the local joints there, too. It really features some of the great chefs
yep.
of New Orleans, and yep. it's for a great cause.
It's the best. The money goes to Gen Youth. Gen Youth solves student hunger by feeding kids in schools. They also put equipment into schools so we can cook fresh food, like vegetables, for children. We spend $1.5 trillion a year in America fighting the big four processed food-related diseases. No child ever got diabetes from eating too much broccoli. So what's crucial here is that we get equipment back in schools, we get nutritional education back in schools, we get gym class back in schools. So we work with the NFL to put flag football programs in schools. We put equipment into schools so they can cook vegetables when they're brought in. Think big steamers, right? It's sort of like, you know, food 101. If you put a kid in charge of it, it's basic. This is the stuff they would do. That we have 18 to 20% of our childhood population in America not knowing where their next set of meals comes from and suffering from hunger is a genocidal situation, because we have the solution, we have the money, we choose as a country, state by state, not to act on it. It, to me, is one of the greatest tragedies of my lifetime, is that we have hungry children in the greatest country in the history of planet Earth. I don't know anyone who would raise their hand if you ask people, are you for keeping kids hungry? Kids who eat breakfast have better outcomes. They are less likely to go into the criminal court system. They have fewer doctor's visit. So even the most fiscal conservative, right, and I consider myself a fiscal conservative, wants this because it saves us money. It saves us money. I am a social justice advocate and a progressive on the other side, so I believe that it's more important to feed kids than it is to, and they always say, what, buy a battleship? It's like, a battleship costs hundreds of billions of dollars. There is a number, anywhere between $14, $17 billion a year, that would statistically eliminate childhood hunger in America. All of it. That's a rounding error, 0.0027 of our federal budget. We're not willing to devote a rounding error to feeding kids. Come on. So, because the federal and state governments won't do it, by the way, sadly, Nevada, I think they were the 10th state in the union to do free school lunch programs and then rolled it back, does not make me happy. And I am using my platform in Las Vegas to say, hey, feed your kids. We have to have private-public partnerships, and the one that works is the one that Gen Youth is engaged in. I've been involved in fighting childhood hunger for almost 30 years now, and I am, you know, International Rescue Committee Global Ambassador, United Nations World Food Program Global Ambassador. I have pilot programs in African schools. I have pilot programs in American schools. I live, eat, and breathe this stuff every single day. And so, you know, if people want to learn more about this stuff, if you believe in feeding kids and doing the right thing, in my estimation, for America, I don't want to spend $1.5 trillion a year on childhood, on healthcare, fighting processed food-related diseases. That's ludicrous. That money could go to do a lot of other things. So I want people who are able to support organizations like Gen Youth. Go to tasteoftheNFL.com, make a donation, spread the word. You know, people who are hearing this in Las Vegas, if you're getting on a plane and coming here, yeah, I'd love you to buy a ticket. But if you're not, just spread the news about childhood hunger and about what Gen Youth is doing, or whatever organization you want to support. But this is an abomination.
Taste of the NFL, awesome event. Our friend Mark McMillan participating this year.
Oh, well, so. we have so many chefs from so many different places. We always try to do a focus on the restaurants in the city that we're in. So we have a majority of chefs from New Orleans, some of the best. I mean, from Dakar to Brennan's and everything in between. And then we have, you know, some other schmuck chefs like myself who are going to pop up a booth and make some chow, and hopefully people are going to like it, right? If you were a chef from out of town, what food would you definitely not cook at a New Orleans event pot where Louisianans are going to show up and eat? What wouldn't you make for them?
I mean, you were going to go gumbo?
Bingo.
Right. Yeah.
You nailed it. Because why would you bring Coles to Newcastle? And why would you go into their hometown and say, eat my gumbo, it's really good?
Right.
So guess what I'm making?
Gumbo.
Nice.
Because, number one, I like a challenge. What am I going to do? Bring something from somewhere else and do it? I'm in New Orleans. Let's do a gumbo and let's see what people say. So come by and tell me how good my gumbo is.
Can you try your pretzel? on the air and give us
Yes, it's right behind you.
It's right here.
Got the evaluation.
Also, a question: do you do mustard or nacho cheese on a pretzel?
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Wow, John, you're having a tough time.
What, John? Wow. Come on, man. That's the disrespect that you're showing.
What is that?
Wow. Well, first of all, and look, I don't doubt there may have been some dry ones, but so far, this pulls apart soft. There's about twice as much salt as should be on a pretzel.
Here we go. I think the ones we had may have been sitting out a little bit too long.
Chewy. Real chewy. He's in. Hard to chew.
Chewy.
Yeah.
He's in.
You know, look.
Mine was a zero, overall, and I will eat anything.
Overall, I give this a 6 or 7.
Wow.
But in the world of commercial, prefab, oversized pretzels that you get at a stadium, it is what it is.
Okay.
Danny, please. Make the run right now. Please.
Yeah, we're so hungry. Pretzels.
We're so hungry.
I believe yours did not do this.
Yeah.
It did not. Yeah. It was there all. I mean, it was, you could tell.
You got the one that had been sitting in the, I mean, when you're at a pizza place, do you want the slice that's been sitting for 4 hours in the tray, or do you want what comes right out of the oven? I want what comes right out of the oven. This is out of the box, out of the freezer, out of the box, into the, you know.
Very good. We were discussing off the air. You had a thought, and it's very similar to my thought, my proposal that I've had for Super Bowls. Vegas, New Orleans, just rotated every year.
Yep.
And you wanted to mix in Minneapolis.
Because you can walk, you can, from hotel, great restaurants, you never need to get into the car and then go to the game.
That's exactly my same philosophy, but it's a different city. I love Indianapolis.
I love that Super Bowl.
Incredible.
Okay, so we have a fourth one, and a good reminder, because, and Indianapolis worked, because you had Midwestern hospitality, the volunteers were great, you stayed downtown, you walked to the stadium, that giant brick barn of a thing. I mean, hello, who was that? Lucas Oil built that?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Correct on that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did they, one of the biggest companies in America, they couldn't afford a good architect?
I enjoy the stadium.
It's the house that Peyton Manning built.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a giant brick barn. I mean, in 5 years, it's going to look like something out of, you know, the 19th century.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everything needs to be SoFi and look like a spaceship, but let's put some, do you want to know what the answer is? And shame on me, and I apologize to everyone in the great state of Indiana and at Lucas Oil. I bet they said, you know what I'm saying, let's not go $1 billion into debt on this. Let's just do a brick barn. And they did. It's a very nice stadium to sit in, by the way.
What are your thoughts on Allegiant?
I love it.
It's pretty good.
Here's the problem. Well, here's the good thing. Very vertical, so there are no bad seats, right? I love that there's 1,000 points of entry and exit, so you get in and out smoothly. That's actually a really big deal. I'm a big sports fan. I go to a lot of events. I want to be able to go in and out of everything smoothly. It's why I love the new Islanders facility with that Grand Central station staircase that they mocked up. It's like a quarter mile wide staircase. Oh, wow. So you go in through these like 20 doors and you descend down together. It's a really cool vibe. I'm not going to lie. I get a ticket every year. And I know it ultimately comes courtesy of the NFL, right? Because Roger Goodell is on our board. And I'm very grateful for that ticket. And some years it's just a seat somewhere. And then some years I'm in a suite. And last year they put me in the suite with all the musicians that performed inside and outside. So it's Blake Shelton, it's Gwen Stefani, it's Reba McEntire, it's Post Malone, it's all the, and I'm sitting there at the game, and you know, this guy turns to me and goes, "Hey, I'm Post." And I'm like, "I know who you are." And I'm sitting next to Post Malone, you know, eating shrimp cocktail and hanging out. The suites are designed at Allegiant to watch the game. They're not deep. Whereas in other places, they're deep for concentrating on cocktailing. So the reason that's important is that what's outside the corridor is all the support services. So everything was fast and efficient, and I liked it. I think it's a great place to see a game.
You're great. You're awesome. That was awesome. We appreciate it. Enjoy that pretzel.
By the way,
yeah.
You also have the Sphere. So now I'm going to Vegas like 20 times a year.
Sphere's pretty awesome.
The Sphere's amazing. I'm going back for like my 9th time since the Sphere opened. Any band that's at the Sphere, I go to see, because you have great restaurants. You can stay at a hotel and walk to the Sphere. And it's the Sphere.
The UFC event was really cool there.
I would have died for that.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Great spot. We appreciate it.
You're the best. See you later.
Thank you.
There he is, Andrew Zimmern. He absolutely remembered John Von Tobel from last year.
This is God. I think he did.
I love that guy. He's awesome. He's such a natural. I mean, he's highly successful, so it's like he can do radio. Like his stories are great. His rant about the food here was unreal. His rant about childhood hunger, the passion behind it, that was great. And the best thing about it, there aren't many people in this category, but we've had like a good half dozen interviews over the years of 20-plus years doing the show where we're like, you need to leave. Like, he just wanted to hang. And I like, he got, like, 8 minutes in. That was Andrew Zimmern. He got, like, 8 minutes in, and I'm like, I could do an hour with this guy. Like, his pickiness on the freaking – we actually didn't even play that. You know what? I actually cut off the beginning – the Vast Sound Crew did. Cut off the beginning because he annihilated, we'll say, a sponsor charcuterie box.
Not our sponsor.
Just crushed it. And the language he was using, he just – beat it up.
I don't even think crush is the right term for what he did. He undressed it. He dismantled it.
It was just so detailed.
He's like, there's muffalato, like, all those, well, like, I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
The stems are brown, so clearly this has been, okay.
It's a high level stuff.
It was great. And washed. It was great. But the olive name, you try to say it, I don't think it was right. It was a name I had never heard.
Right, yes.
Because whatever olive.
Yeah. I think of muffalato as like a cookie or something. I don't know.
And he's a big sports fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a great story when someone next to you was like, hey, I'm Post.
Yeah.
That was the biggest reveal.
I know you're Post Malone.
That Post Malone introduces himself
as Post.
Like, that's his first name.
I love that. The interview was so long with Andrew that he actually had to have a snack.
He did.
That's how long the interview was. I need a snack, man.
He also lied straight to our face. That pretzel? He said it was a six.
Sucked.
We got. Although the theory is, and this is a brilliant idea by Danny, who is a brilliant guy. No, actually, it was Adam. Were you the one who said they probably brought out like a nice fresh pretzel because they were like, it's Andrew.
Yeah, no, again, that was me. I don't know why you refused to give me my credit.
You guys are all.
Which is he
yeah,
asked
similar
his,
wittiness.
He asked his, I don't know if it was his, I don't want to say assistant because that sounds demeaning, but for lack of a better term, I'll say his assistant. Julie? Is that correct?
Right.
Asked Julie to go upstairs and get him a pretzel. And I assumed that Julie went up there and said, look, I'm getting this pretzel for Andrew Zimmern. Like, please, give me a fresh one.
And he's on the air.
Yeah.
And but he's not holding back.
So Danny confirmed that, though. So you said that was your theory.
Mm-hmm.
Danny confirmed that he had gone up there and they had just put out the new pretzel.
Yep.
So he got it just hot off the rack.
Yeah.
I was more amazed that, you know, he's just like us. Pulled the crackers out of his bag.
It's
great.
Yeah, the three. I don't know if they're 3 years old. Those can last 3 to 5 years.
I don't know why he had mayonnaise. Like, what's he going to do with mayonnaise?
Dip the crackers in them.
No.
We had 20 minutes with him. You don't ask him about the mayonnaise?
I didn't want to get a look like John did when he told him to put mustard on the pretzel.
No, I didn't tell it. I don't think he heard me either. I said, do you put mustard or nacho cheese on the pretzel? And he just said, excuse me?
Yeah, you know, I like Andrew so much because he is ultra confident. He mentioned his Substack, and I think he mentioned, like it's really entertaining. And as I was listening to him, I'm like, I think we could go toe-to-toe with you. Like, battle him on food? I don't know the terms.
Sure.
But that was way too much respect. You should have stood up.
I should have.
Because then he's also like, there's way too much salt on the pretzel. I'm like, I disagree. You are wrong.
It's the best thing to put on it.
There's no such.
I think we could get into a stand up, screaming at each other.
We want four eyes, huh? You see the pretzel by itself.
Those were nice glasses. They're more expensive than mine.
Yes.
Maybe Adam's too.
Yeah, 100%.
Please check out all the information on Taste of the NFL. It really is for a great cause, and I'll start teasing ahead to when we have the Super Bowl again. You got to go. The chefs that are there, and we'll remind everyone, we're going to get, I think, Mark McMillan, our Friday guest on, former Chief, former Eagle. He's cooking at the Taste of the NFL. He's doing a short rib beignet.
Oh.
Short rib. Well, were you the one who got it? Was it Mark? Yeah, you got it. JBT, I don't know. Someone, I think it was you, was getting into how underrated Or where has short rib been, basically?
Yeah, short rib like emerged on the scene. It's like one of the best things ever.
It's blowing up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everybody's using it now.
It's having a moment, yeah.
Coming up, these guys did an interview that is explosive. It may not sound explosive. Josh Jacobs says in this interview, yeah, the former Raider running back sits down with us, and he actually said it during the interview. He's like, I haven't said this before.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You coaxed something out of him.
We have a good relationship.
He said that with the exact same passion as well. I haven't said this to anybody before.
Josh Jacobs on the way.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw on ESPN Las Vegas.
Media Row also presented by Circa Las Vegas. How many Circa squares, JVT? You work in the building. How many Circa squares do you jump on? Adam, do you bet them?
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's a great thing to do. I struggle with it.
Okay,
never,
so you're not good.
Never know which one's the bet.
Okay.
Terrible.
John?
Bet them all, Steve.
Bet them all?
That's a full-throated endorsement of what Circa is doing.
That's right.
That's the way you answer.
No, it's better. It's way better. You ever been like, my mom used to do this all the time, where she'd come home, she'd be like, I signed this up for squares. I got us two and I got us five. And it's like, okay, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. Not going to get anything at all. But at Circa, you get to pick your square and you get the odds. How about that? That's how you do it. So no more bad numbers. You pick your numbers and then you celebrate in a big way. No better way to watch the big game than with some Circa squares.
Circa Sports, Circa Las Vegas. Look it up and get yourself in one of the big game bashes at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'll be there.
So Josh Jacobs now with the Packers sat down with Cofield and Company, JVT and Adam on this one. And, just kind of setting things up before the explosiveness, talking about the move from Las Vegas to Green Bay and how Green Bay is.
Man, it's peaceful. That's the only way I can really explain it. It reminds you of College Town. It's literally nothing but football. I mean, the support and the love is crazy. You go anywhere from like 20 blocks away from the stadium, all you're going to see is Packer signs, Packer flags, and things like that. So it definitely reminds you of a college town.
Okay. I picture a lot of like steel barrels with fires in them, you know what I mean? Like bitter cold, things like that.
It's like the home of dairy. So it's like it's a lot of farmland and things like that. Yeah.
So obviously playing, you know, you're in Vegas in a new stadium. Yeah. Lambeau has so much tradition, so much history. Like what is it like just stepping on that field and knowing what's happened there?
I mean, first off, they still keep that tradition stuff very, very, very much alive. Like, you pull up to the stadium and you see the Lombardi out there, the statues. You see the big Lombardi statue right in the stadium. And then, obviously, like, you see all the historic gems. Like, they keep everything in there. So I think it's dope, man. Like, to be able to come in from, you know, one historic franchise and go to another, I think it's been dope.
And you also obviously had a good season. The team's very good. Like, I know you went to one playoff game in Vegas, but it wasn't even, like, that great a team. It was a weird year.
Yeah.
What is it like just being on a, I don't want to say competitive, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Every week you know you have a chance to win. You're a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was telling the guys going into December, knowing that you're going to be playing in the postseason. It gives you, like, that extra, like, life. And it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, it's hard, man, when you keep losing and you trying everything to figure it out, but you don't really know what it is to do. You giving everything you got and you not getting the results. It's kind of hard, but man, going into a situation where we lost what, 5 games last year, and like, you know, you're gonna win 10 games every year. It's like it's amazing. I'm not gonna lie.
What was the difference in those divisional games? Because some of those NFC North games, they look pretty testy. Obviously, that Vikings rivalry is pretty big. Bears, like, so what was that like? The difference between that and the AFC West matchups?
Nah, the NFC North, I never knew it was that competitive. Like, I think that, like, between 3 teams, it was, like, the total of the year, like, regular season was, like, 7 losses.
Mm-hmm.
Between 3 teams is, like, crazy, you know? So, like, those games were – it was some tough games. I mean, obviously, you can't recreate Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is who he is. And obviously now, too, like – Denver low-key look good too. Like, you know, so, which is crazy to say because I don't think I've ever lost to Denver, but like the I mean, they, that's a tough division too. I mean, Justin Herbert, he's a special in his own right. I think it's similar. I think that the defenses are a little better though in the NFC. just last year, anyways, yeah. from what I've experienced.
Can confirm you never lost to Denver.
Yeah.
You're undefeated against Denver.
Yeah.
Sure
yeah.
That's the voice of Josh Jacobs sitting down with us. I wanted to ask you about this because I thought what happened when you left Vegas
yeah.
with fans was pretty gross on the fans' part. And yeah. You don't have to say that about them. I'll say it was gross. Like, fans were just angry. Like,
yeah.
you did what was right for you.
Yeah.
You get, you know, to this situation, you sign a contract. People are mad. Like, what was it like going through people that loved you for so long mm-hmm. now, like, giving you this hate on social media?
I mean, you know, fans. You know how fans is, man. I mean, in the reality is the hate always is bigger than the love. And that's yeah. just the world we live in now. But I think the fans were very misinformed, too. Like, you know, because a lot of the stuff that happened, I really didn't speak on.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was a part of the reason. Like, I never had hate for the fans. I don't even have hate for the organization. I think that I was disrespected the way that they handled it all. And but I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, like I was there, man. They offered me, like, when it came down time to it, I was like, man, when, you know, Russian title, I'm like, okay, are we gonna have conversations? Like what are we doing? Are we gonna have conversations about, you know, what do I look like? Are y'all trying to make me a focal point? And what they do the very next year, they say, we're not going to favor your option. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, damn. Like, you know, what are we doing? So, and then, basically, and I'm going to be all the way honest about this, man. Like, they had me, I met with Max. And, you know, I came in, like, that last year I was there. And they was like, well, he was in a parking lot. And he was about yeah. to sign. Man, I was coming in. And I was about to sign. But they didn't really offer me an offer. Like, it was, I was like, okay, I don't mind playing on a franchise tag, but if the franchise tag comes with, you know what I'm saying, like, a longer deal afterwards, you know. And they came in and they basically told me, like,
it is something where you don't have a lot of
questions. Okay, I'm going to say this, and nobody knows it.
Okay.
Max Crosby knows this. Ask him. I don't know if he would say, if he admitted or
he's
not.
He's here today, by the way. He's around.
Ask him. When I pulled up, and I had the talk with the GM. I'm not even going to say the dude's name. He was on the phone with a reporter. He didn't think we seen his phone. He got the – I'm like, come on, bro. So, like I said, it's a lot of stuff that people don't even know that right. that happened. You can, you know what I'm saying? So, not even that. He basically told me, and this is the honest truth. They basically told me, look, shut up and play football. They was like – they tried to tell me. They said, you need the money. You're going to play, basically. And I was like, I don't need the money, first off. I don't need the money. I was preparing myself to not play. I was going to show up, like, what, four games left in the season and get credit a season and then move on. Like, that was my game plan. So, like, when it came down to it, and they was like, you ain't at camp? Yeah, I wasn't at camp because I wasn't playing and I'm playing. Like, so when they came back to the table and they was like, we might kind of need this guy. Like, we're going to give him a little bit of extra to come play. Then I was like, make it make sense. But even when we came down, man, to the talks, I told him, I'm like, I had eight teams, even the year before, trying to trade for me and things like that. They didn't want to trade, but they didn't want to offer me a deal. Okay, so then it comes to the free agency. And I told him, I'm like, man, I got eight teams offering me more than what y'all offer me. Can y'all match it? They said no. I said, okay, I understand. I said, well, can you meet in the middle? Can we meet in the middle? They said no again. So I went back, and literally my agent was pissed. He mad at me because he like, why are you still trying to make this work?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, they offered me 3 for $30. And he was like, man, do you want to – I said, man, because you put some incentives in my contract, maybe I hit them, maybe I don't. Yeah. At that point, at least it's on me to go out there and do it. And when they said no to that, I said, yeah, well, it's time for me to leave. Like, I was like, man, what more do I have to prove? What more do I have to do in this community and for this organization for y'all to feel like that, you know, like giving me a fair deal was worth it?
But to be clear, you were willing to take less to stay.
I was willing to take less. That's why I'm laughing at people. I'm like, what are y'all? That's why I got mad. That's why I got mad at the fans, because I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Like, I'm literally willing to take less and take a cut to be on this team because I wanted to stay with one team my whole career. Like,
we'll get you out of here, but I want to ask, like, why did you not speak out? Like, you said you didn't speak out about it. How hard was it?
It was hard, bro, because, like, every time I had seen some stuff, I'm like, bro, y'all dead wrong. Yeah. Like, y'all dead wrong.
How
like
many tweets were drafted and deleted?
Yeah, like, I'm like, bro, but, like, at the same time, too, it's like you also have that fear of speaking out, too,
yeah.
because you don't want to get blackballed. You don't want to get, like, sure. looked at a certain type of way. Like, so you had that fear. But at the end of the day, like I said, man, like, that's the truth. Like, I tried everything in my ability. I still have a house out there. Like, it ain't like, you know, it ain't like I was planning on moving. I just built the house. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, I still root for them, their success. You know, I have no hate against them. I still want to hopefully one day come back and light the torch. I still love Mark Davis. You know, the group of guys that they had in there at that time, I'm not fond of. I feel like a lot of fans aren't either. And that just is what it is.
Well, good job here. I appreciate it. I told you this off the air, but I'll tell you, I'll say it on the air as well. Really appreciate everything you did in Vegas in terms of, like, dealing with you. Being in there every day, and you're always willing to talk and always willing to speak. And I appreciate it. It's always a stand-up guy. So
thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Josh Jacobs, a former Raiders running back, and maybe the most significant moment was at the end when the president of the local Writers chapter said, you know, you did a good job.
Well, we also gave him an award, Craig Long Award.
I'm busting your chops. I will
Adam
say
has
that,
never told me I'm stand-up person.
I will say that to people as well who are cooperative and they're in tough situations. Like, you do appreciate it as someone who's covering them. But Adam was one of the lone backers of Josh Jacobs. I mean, I certainly am because I'm always, most 99% of the time, a pro player guy. But it was pretty rotten, and, you know, there you go. Josh and Dave. The other Josh and Dave. More stories are going to come out about those guys over the years, and it'll just add to the legacy, especially of Josh McDaniel and his Denver run.
I had actually forgotten that he actually just flat out said at the end, I wasn't fond of them and the fans aren't either.
Yeah.
I forgot he said that.
That's strong.
Coming up, busy day in the NBA, a busy day around Media Row as well, a lot of TV news to get into. We'll go in the grab bag.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Craig Salerno rejoins us from Circa Las Vegas. He's at Stadium Swim, a great place to party for the big game. Big game bash. You search Circa Las Vegas, book your spot at Stadium Swim. JVT, Adam Hill, Cofield, wrapping the last 15 minutes on this Thursday, Super Bowl 20. Check that 59 Radio Row. Greg Uri. By the way, Greg, what is your full name? Just Greg?
Yeah, it's just Greg. It's spelled G-R-A-I-G, so I don't get any cool stuff.
Stupid.
Were you expecting
to be like Greg Nettles?
Yeah, were you expecting to be like Gregorius or something?
That'd be good.
Something like Gregory. I don't know. Gregory.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'd be cool if it was like Gregory or Gregorius or something. I don't know.
What if it was the full Greg Nettles Salerno? It'd be
Greg
a little
Nettles
weird.
Salerno? Yeah, I could do that. I could do that.
Hyphenated.
You know, I actually got to meet him once, and I told him that I was like, hey, man, I was named after you. And he's like, yeah, great kid. Go away. I'm like,
exactly. You don't want to meet your heroes.
No.
We had an instance of somebody meeting his hero this on this trip in New Orleans, and Adam berated the kid because he wanted to take a picture.
Yeah, who was? I don't think it was
really?
Put the arm closer.
Yes, Arash Markazi, who is a media member, this kid at a party wanted to take a picture with Arash. And this then kid, Adam the jumped in. Up. He jumped in and he started yelling at the kid, you don't even know who this is.
Yeah, because he came up and he's like, hey. He goes, hey, haven't you been on ESPN? And sure. Arash was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, can I take a picture with you? I was like, you don't even know who he is. No.
Haven't I heard you on Cofield & Company echoing in a bathroom before? Yeah.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
Wow, that's a good reference. That's a good reference. I think I was there that day when Arash was dropping a deuce in the bathroom echo chamber. I've met my hero, Warren Sapp. He's not my hero. Warren Sapp is at Radio Row, and he's a lot of bluster, but he's also, and I will keep this energy, he's also shown in the past to be kind of a wimp sometimes, and I'll explain in a second. So today he went on some dork from CBS National, I think, Zach, and you got to listen to this. I don't know if he doesn't have football knowledge, he didn't understand what the guy said, but they were talking about the top of the draft. Fire this.
Where does Shador fall in that?
Right behind him.
Yeah.
And Cam right behind him.
Abdul Carter, too, Penn State. Edge rusher. He's pretty good.
All right. What was the last edge rusher from Penn State?
Michael Parsons.
And what rushing he doing?
Hey, he's...
What pass rush he got? What?
Yeah.
You better look that up.
Yeah.
15 what?
He gets like 15 sacks a year.
You believe this?
Michael Parsons?
I'm going to leave you on that one.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Well, leaving me hanging. You're leaving me hanging.
Don't try to shake his hand. Follow him and hit him with the microphone.
keep that same energy.
Yeah, it's Warren Sapp. I don't know why you walk off. Just repair it and move on. Oh, yeah, I didn't recognize the name Micah Parsons. He doesn't know who Micah Parsons is. It's so weird.
Or he doesn't know that he's a pass rusher?
Maybe.
Do we think he didn't know? Like, what if he just legitimately just doesn't really watch and just didn't know?
Just thinks he's a regular linebacker?
I don't know. Like, that was such a weird... He had no idea that he was a good pass rusher. He's in contention for Defensive Player of the Year, like, every year since he's gotten in the league.
And it didn't make sense. And like, I'm sure there are people that think, oh, it was, like, staged or something, but you would have staged a much better argument.
Right.
Like, something that's that wasn't even an interesting argument.
And he looks terrible, so he wouldn't stage that. Yeah, he looks
true.
Awful.
That's true.
Greg? Walk off?
I can't imagine what he was doing there. I mean, what? I would at least pretend. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Or something, if I didn't know who it was.
Right.
Ridiculous.
We all do that.
Yeah, of course.
Like, oh, exactly. Yeah.
I do it 20 times a show.
My Lord. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Lawyers from both the NFL and Fox are really looking over the lyrics from Not Like Us.
They are?
Yes. Greg, why are they?
Well, there's a part in there where I think he accuses somebody of pedophilia. That might be it. I don't know.
True. They also, I mean, I'm sure, well, the NFL, I'm sure, is very uncomfortable with a lot of what's in there. And we'll see what they do. I feel like Kendrick will just do it anyway.
Yep.
I don't feel like he would change lyrics or anything like that to...
I mean, he's got such a deep catalog with all very sanitary songs.
Oh, no. They're both massive Kendrick Lamar fans.
Well, I should understand, like, what are we doing?
That beat, though, is the worst beat of all time, right? That one for that song. I mean, is it not...
See you, Greg. Have a good day.
enjoy the rest of your time out at Circa.
Who's Micah Parsons? I got to get out of here.
The anti-Kendrick takes are preposorous. But yeah,
an anti-Kendrick. Just that particular beat, I'm saying, it's pretty bad. I mean, it's not good. Right?
Sorry, it's not in drop D, bro.
What is your issue?
I mean, it's like over and over. Like, okay, enough. Jeez.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Maggie Gray from the Sand Network I popped earlier. Really didn't, but she said...
the network you said their host was a giant dork?
If Jalen Hurts loses two Super Bowls to the Chiefs, she says the Philly fan base is going to say to Jalen, enough with this guy. You're a Philly fan.
Yeah. No. Come on. I mean, first of all, he was the best player in the first time they went. So, I mean, I don't know how you can blame him for that. I know people keep bringing up, like I heard Orlovsky earlier bringing up the fumble. Even after that fumble, they were up 10 points going into the half. Jalen was second in MVP voting that year. People act like the guy just exists and he stinks or something. When was Jaden Daniels' last MVP finish second place? Never. So, I mean, I don't know. People crap on Jalen all the time, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think it's really unnecessary bashing. Philly fans are rough, but they're not. I'm not going to say they're not stupid, but that's a ridiculous take.
It's silly. Come on.
Say goodbye to the guy that got you to Super Bowls in 2 out of 3 years.
There's a weird Tanner McKee obsession out there.
Oh, I'm upset. Don't get me. Hey.
Tanner McKee obsession.
Yeah. I want nothing more than
the
Colts.
Adam's right, dude.
No, ship off a late round pick if you're the Colts and bring Tanner McKee in to compete with Anthony Richardson. Like, if you're gonna do it that way, I'm down with it. But like, you're not getting rid of Jalen Hurts for Tanner McKee, because the last time they did this to Jalen Hurts, everybody was like, you know, Gardner Minshew could do a pretty good job. Like, no, he can't. He stinks.
Yeah. And
last one.
The defense. Sorry. No, I was going to say, and the defense was terrible last year and in the Super Bowl. I mean, for most of it. So, I mean, blaming Jalen to me is just ridiculous.
Greg, what's going on over there tonight at Stadium Swim? We have great weather. I know Vegas does.
Yeah, it's gorgeous right now. Knights game on. They're winning. Got lots of college basketball. All the lines are here if you want to make some bets. Got the ladies walking around and they got drinks. It's fun. Come on now.
I will see you tomorrow. I might be doing side-by-side with you over at Treasure Island, or I might actually make my flights. We'll see.
All right, man. We'll find out. Have fun down there, fellas.
Greg Salerno. Make sure you go up, look up Big Game Bash on the Circa website, CircaLasVegas.com, CircaLasVegas.com. Great job by Danny doing most of the running today. I didn't finish. Unreal job by both Adam Hill and especially JVT, who's gone out and gotten us lots and lots of guests. Very good run. We'll have a lot more of the guests on tomorrow from Radio Row here in New Orleans. And you know what? I like to thank the NFL. I enjoy being housed here.
Danny, go put Tony Gonzalez real quick.
We never got to the Jesse Palmer story. That's coming up on Friday. We'll see you.